Like I say many times, I'm so glad we have God's Word, and just trying to put ourselves when we're, you know, when you're in the Gospels, just trying to, one of the things I like to do is put myself as if I was there. You know, what would it feel like if I was one of the disciples? What would it feel like if I was one of those there in the crowd, and trying to think and just imagine what it would have been like, you know? And I'm glad that we, you know, we've got, God's given us word about what he did. You know, we have, you know, not everything that Jesus did, or the books couldn't contain it, but we have what enough, John said, we have just the right things in it so that we'll believe, you know? And, but I'm glad we have stories we can see how Jesus acted and how he spoke and how he dealt with situations. And I believe we can learn something from it. So Mark chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their house, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he answered, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for another chance to worship you. And Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Touch my voice, and Lord, that you would open up our ears, Lord, for what you have for us today. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. We thank you for all things, and in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So we see the story starts out with it says in verse 1, a very great multitude of people were there. So we've got a very great multitude, but it also says that they had nothing to eat, and there doesn't seem to be any resources to fix the problem. So we've got a very great need. And you know, you and I, we run into this world has a lot of very great needs. You know, you think about whether it's the poor, the hungry, broken homes and families, or the drug and alcohol problem, you know, all of these needs that are going on around us. And the problem is, we can get so used to seeing and hearing about it, we can become calloused, I believe. We can become indifferent to these needs that are around us. Now, and I like in looking at this passage how Jesus tackled it. How, you know, what he did. And one of the things that we see is right off the bat, he calls his disciples to him. So before discussing any problems or any solutions or anything, he brings them together. So we know this is a teaching moment right here. And he starts out before any solution, Jesus says in verse 2, "I have compassion on the multitude." Before he handed out loaves and fish, before he told them anything, any details, we see that he is moved by their situation. He is moved by the hunger of the people. And you realize that Jesus cared for them. He genuinely cared for the multitude, and he didn't want to send them away hungry. And here's a lot of what I see is, you know, this world will come up with solutions, won't they? They'll come up with solutions for poverty and for hunger and all these things. But a lot of times the world is just trying to meet needs, right? That's all they're trying to do, where you don't see the world showing compassion. You know, when we had Evelyn for a while, one of the few things they helped us out with was they gave us that WIC card to to be able to get formula. Her formula was very, very expensive. She had the special kind. So that was one of the few things they helped us with while we had her. And, when they gave us that card wasn't in love. That card was just to help with expenses. That's all it was. You know, when the government, when they send you the stimulus check, that's not in love or compassion. They're trying to get votes and they're trying to get people, popularity and everything else. Jesus isn't like that. He said, I have compassion over the people. And it was more than words. He really loved. A lot of times we also see, whether it's the government or programs or different things, they take care of temporary needs, but they don't ever solve the problem. You see that? They don't ever solve what is causing the need, and they don't usually really help people lift out of the situation that they're in. But we see this multitude had been with Jesus for 3 days. And I can guarantee, while we don't have everything that was spoken in those 3 days, if you see how Jesus acted, if you see how Jesus tackled problems, he would have dealt with the spiritual side first. He would have dealt with the sin issue and repentance and believing on him and everything else. He would have dealt with that first, and then he dealt with the physical needs, right? That's what we see. Remember the man lowered down from the ceiling. He forgave his sins before he healed his body, right? That's the way Jesus did it. He lifted them up and took care of spiritual things first, which is a reminder to us as well. You could start a food pantry. You could do different things, and there is a need there, and that's not bad. But if all you do is hand out food, that's not helping the spiritual side. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. We see that he is showing empathy, understanding their situation, telling the disciples some of them have come from afar and they've spent 3 days. So by the time they can get back home and get more food, they'll faint away in this journey and not be able to return home safely. So Jesus isn't just showing his disciples another miracle. I think that's what one of the things we need to realize right here. I believe he's trying to teach them to look at the people and realize their needs, realize what problems that they have. But see what happens when he told them that they're hungry and they'll be faint and we need to feed them. In verse 4, the disciples see there's the problem, no food for the multitude. The disciples respond by asking Jesus a question. From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? You know what the perfect response should have been? Here's the super spiritual response would have been this. Jesus, you said to feed everybody. The disciples should have asked among themselves, what food do we already have? And give it over to Jesus and he would bless it and break it and multiply it. Now remember, Jesus has already fed the 5,000. That's 2 chapters earlier in Mark chapter 6. He fed 5,000 with less bread and less fish. He feeds more people. Yet, 2 chapters later, they're asking Jesus in an almost identical scenario how quickly they have forgotten. They're saying, whence can a man satisfy these men? There's no man that can feed everyone but Jesus. But aren't you glad where no man has a solution to the problem, there is Jesus Christ that can solve it. Where things are impossible with men, aren't you glad that all things are possible with God? There is no man that can satisfy our needs. That's the truest statement. It was a question, but it should have been a statement. There's no man that can satisfy the needs of the people, but I'm glad our God can. Yeah. But you know what? The fact that there are passages like this, when we see his disciples that walked with him and every day and heard his teaching and watched what he did and got to see and hear all the things that we don't have written in the Bible. And just to see that just 2 chapters later, I don't know how much time passed, but surely they would have remembered the first miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, yet they had so soon forgotten. They're in a desert place, a multitude of hungry people, and Jesus wants them to eat. And they respond, well, we don't have enough food, Jesus. But Jesus was able the first time to turn that 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 and have 12 baskets left over. Now we've got the same problem. Less people, more food. And they've forgotten They've forgotten about Jesus, right? They're looking outside to the solution. Who can bankroll this feast, right? Who can pay to do this to where everyone? And then here's Jesus in verse 5. How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. You know what I love about Jesus? Is time after time, he uses what we already have. Right? Remember Moses? He asked Moses, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And God used that dead stick to free the people from Egypt, from the bondage of Egypt. He didn't say, go get something, go buy something, go earn something, go create something. What do you already have? What food do you have? And Jesus was able to use that. Same thing at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He used the water pots and the water that they already had and turned it into wine. And just like last time, he took the food that they already had and multiplied it. You know, Jesus could have made manna fall from heaven, couldn't he? He already had in the Old Testament. He could have done that, but he didn't. But you know, a lot of times I think we have to be looking at what we already have and say, how could Jesus use this? How could God use what I have and multiply it? And then not only that, am I willing to hand it over to him? Right? You know, we don't talk much about the loaves and the fishes, but it was somebody's. Right? The first time we know it was somebody's lunch. And he hands it over. And that's what we need to do. He hands it over. How many loaves have you? The same question as the last time. And look at Jesus' instructions. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and he commanded them to set them also before them. You know what else? Not only could Jesus have called manna from heaven, he could have called a whole bunch of angels to distribute the food. But you know, he didn't do that. You know, Jesus could have even handed out the food himself, but he didn't do that. You know what he did? Just like he used what they already had, you know what else God does? He uses us to do his work. He doesn't have to use us. He chooses to use us. Just like he didn't have to use the disciples that day, he chose to use them. And what a blessing, because even though they were unbelieving, even though they forgot how Jesus had done an almost identical miracle before, how soon they forgot, what a blessing to think about. Not only was Jesus patient with the disciples, you know, like I've said many times, I would have said, don't you remember? Haven't we run into this before? Does this ring a bell? That's how what I would say. But our God is gracious. Not only is he gracious when we forget of what he's able to do and forget how he's already taken care of similar situations in our life and people around us, but not only that, he is willing to be patient and still willing to use us when we act like that. When we go to God and say, God, what man can help me? Right? What man can get me out of this situation? Or we use ourselves. What can I do to get out? There's nothing I can do, God. Isn't he patient? And when we come to him with problems of the world, a lot of times he's just saying, what do you have? And what are you willing to do? And are you willing to trust me? They had forgotten. Jesus had already provided deliverance. He'd already supplied their needs. But God's patient with us. Not only that, so not only did Jesus have compassion on the multitude of people, he had compassion on his disciples. And not only did he have compassion on his disciples, he shows compassion to you and I each and every day. He loves us. He's merciful to us. And I say praise God for that. Because I don't know about you, I, you know, maybe you're not like this, but it seems like when I'm in the Old Testament and the children of Israel do something that would be dumb and say, they should have known better, and why did they do this? And they should have trusted God. And then we get to the disciples and I do the same thing. Why didn't they understand? Why didn't they see this? How short-sighted, how forgetful. And then I remind myself, I'm in the same boat as they are. So many times I could look at myself and say, how could I be so forgetful? The God that was faithful before, the God that took care of me before, the God that totally took care of the problem without my help, without anything, without me needing to fix it, the God that said, here, why don't you just be willing? Why don't you just step out in faith? And why don't let me show you what I want? That's the God. I say praise God for that. Amen. So once the disciples handed over what they had to Jesus and he blessed it, you know what he does? The other thing about the Lord, he doesn't just add, he multiplies. Right? When he talks about rewards, he says, I don't just take your what you've done and add to it. He says, I'll multiply it, right? When you plant seeds of faith, he says, I'll multiply it, right? 60, 100 fold. That's what he is. He's a multiplying God. And this is the same thing. He multiplied it. And I like verse 8. So they did eat and were filled. Right? Have you ever had one of those events where, you know, they had food at the event and you could scan the room and see how many people and then you see how much food and you realize there's not enough? Have you ever been there? And then a lot of times if you're a nice person, you don't take as much, right? Some people they have no compassion or empathy and they'll eat as if they're the only ones there. But most of us will go up there and we'll get little portions of everything. And what do? We eat and we're still hungry, right? Because they've run out of food. That didn't happen here. That didn't happen. God gave them enough. Jesus gave them enough so that they all ate and they were all filled and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. You know what our God can do? He can take what little we have, multiply it, use it, have it be enough, and then have it be more than enough. Because that's what happened. But when they handed over the food by faith and trusted him, they ended up with more than what they started with. And isn't that a picture of our Christian life? When we just turn our life over to him, when we turn everything over to God as best as we can, as we do that, don't you see very quickly that we end up with more than what we would have had if we didn't go to Jesus, if we didn't trust him, if we didn't walk by faith? He always gives us what we need and more. That's what he is. He's not only a God that answers prayers, he's a God that does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It is so true in our lives. And this is what we see. There was left 7 baskets. You know, I remember I preached the feeding of the 5,000. That was one of the early messages that I preached. And one of the things that God gave me when they had 12 baskets that time. And then they were getting on the boat and then they got into a storm. And they were on the stormy sea, and I thought, you know what? They had to live off those fragments for a little while before they could eat again. There was trouble for a while, and they had to eat off of the fragments. And, you know, that happens to us sometimes. We have to feed off the, what God has done, and there's some lean times from time to time, but that's why God always gives us these extra. And when they'd eaten, there were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Everyone was filled. There was extra. But you know what I was thinking? I think Jesus is trying to give an example. See, you have to ask yourself, why is this here if we already know he can feed people with bread and fish, right? We know he can feed the multitude. Why is this here? In fact, some people get confused and think it's the same thing, but it's not. 2 different times. Why is it here twice when so many times that, you know, when you think about the Bible, so little, it's just picking out the important things in Jesus' life. I believe he's showing them this time that, number one, you've got to remember what I've already done. But also he's trying to show them, listen, when you see this crowd out here, I have compassion over them. You know, he told them the same thing the first time. He had compassion. He's trying to show them, hey, When you look out into this world, instead of becoming calloused, show compassion and show, we can't fix everything in this world, but what this world needs is not politics or sound bites or anything else or programs. They need people that are genuinely caring in their lives.
Yeah.
That's what they need. And if we can approach situations with love and empathy, instead of what did the disciples do? It was just cold excuses, right? What man's going to be able to take care of this? I think we can be used of the Lord a lot more. That's what he does. He shows love, doesn't he? He reached us out to us in love. He's and in patience and in grace. And that's what he's continued to do throughout our Christian life. And we need to continue to show the same thing to the world. Because you think about it, it is an honor that God allows us to do his work. Remember, he could do it himself. You think about getting the gospel out. He could tell everyone in this world instantly so many different ways. But he doesn't. He could have fed them all himself. Just like he could take care of all the problems right now himself, but he doesn't. You know what he said? For this time that we're in right now, he said, I've planted a church. And that church is the one that I've given the job to take the gospel out and be and to carry it out there with our feet. And we're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. When we allow ourselves to do it, when we show compassion, when we realize that's when we can be used by God. But a lot of times I'm like the disciples. I've got the excuse, but God, this will never work. God, they'll never listen. Jesus is so patient. He was so patient with the disciples, so patient with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and I'm glad he's so patient with us. It's an honor that we get to serve on behalf of Jesus Christ and do what he could do himself. But in his plan, he said, I want you to do it through me, with me, my power, my strength, my grace. I'm glad that he's chosen to use us, but that means we have to continue to be ready and willing, listening to the Spirit, and seeing what amazing things God has in store for people. It's a blessing, church, that we get to play a small part in God's plan. Yeah. Never forget that. It's not a blessing that I get to be a certain role in the job that I have. I've said it before. If the numbers don't work out, or if they decide they don't like Columbus anymore, like they've done to so many cities, and they would get rid of me, and it would just be an accounting thing. In fact, for a while, I sat next to an accounting guy where his job was to downsize groups. And it was a little scary. He was so friendly, yet all he did was cut people out, different parts of the company. And you think about it. Aren't you glad God isn't like that? He wants to use us. He wants to use us even though we let him down. He wants to use us even though we have excuses. He wants to use us even though he's put us in the same scenario and we've already seen him work and he's giving us another shot at it and we come to him with the same old excuses. He's still loving and compassionate. Yeah. Why? I don't know why. He loves us. But I'll tell you what, it's an honor, church, to serve the Lord and to be used by him. He could use anything, but he chose to use us. That's why every day, we talked about spiritual warfare this morning. Every day we have to be ready for spiritual warfare. But also every day as a Christian, we have to be ready to serve. That means we have to have our eyes open. The same spiritual eyes for the battle have to be open for the opportunity. Our ears have to be listening to the leading of the Spirit. We have to be ready because who knows when God will say, hey, that thing you have, that talent, that money, that whatever, I want you to put it to use. And who knows what he can do with it? More than what we could. If they just start passing out the loaves and fish themselves, a few people would have got a little bit to eat. But instead they were all filled and they had extra.
Yeah.
That's our God. That's our God. And you're thinking, Mike, well, I know I've let him down. That's all right. I mean, it's not all right to let him down, but we do it. This Bible's full of real people.
Yeah.
And every one of the characters in the Bible, over and over again, what do you see? They forget. They stumble. They fail. They make excuses. I'm glad they're all in here. Because then I look at my life and say, you know what? If God still loved them, if God wrote about them in Hebrews chapter 11, He still loves us. And He still, salvation's real, right? It's real when you look at some of the ones in here and you're like, my goodness. He still calls them righteous? What a loving God. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.